We faced a lot of things. This pandemic has hit a lot of us quite hard. But the Lord wants us to remember him and to think about him. And what made me think about this, in the fabric of their garment, at the bottom of the rim of the garment, they were to put a tassel, and in the tassel, a blue thread. When you look at your life, you say, I've been through a lot. Some of you have had medical issues. We learned of a dear brother in this meeting who has heard of a bad medical exam that he had to take. But through it all, we are in relationship with Almighty God, who is majestic and regal and kingly and heavenly. While the children of God were going through the wilderness to get to the promised land, and how would they remember him? How would they remember who he is? I think we broke bread, and we think of the majesty and magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he leave us? Bread and wine. Now, as we live our Christian life and as we appreciate what God has done for us, there's a depth of the Christian life that needs to be incorporated into our consciousness so that through all of the difficulties and all of the pain and sometimes suffering, I didn't know I had that power. So through all the sufferings, there's the threat of majesty.
That's what he wants.
The threat of majesty that he wants us to understand and to appreciate. We have to step back and pause in our lives. Something's happening to us, something's happening to our family, something's happening in the assembly. And in all the experiences of our lives, he wants us to remember his majesty, his sovereignty, his graciousness, his comfort. There has to be in our souls that blue line, that thread of his magnificence. Now, we don't always understand what to do about that. We're busy. Happen? How can this be? Why is this happening? And we pray and we intercede. We walk by faith. But it almost seems that the Lord stops us. I'm here. I have to be reminded. How did Israel remember that the presence of God was with them? A blue thread in a tassel on their garment. How do I remember that the Lord is with us through the small moments of life? But I want to live this gigantic. I want to be somebody. Hold it. Look within. Be guided by the Spirit of God. Find the Lord God through every circumstance of our existence. you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. Now, Israel was a nation of looking. They wanted a sign. They wanted to see God at work in things that they could see and feel and taste. The charismatic movement of today wants to get back to that. But that was a time precious for Israel. And God was dealing with his people in a way that they could fully grasp his presence and understanding. We're going to look at a New Testament passage in a moment. It's a little bit different for the church. A little bit different. We'll get to that in a minute. But what can we learn about what God is saying to this wayward people at times? I want you to remember my commandments. And when you're walking, and where you're at, if you're lying down and you have your garment out, oh, that tassel there. God has commanded us. And then it's to bring to mind what the Lord wants. While going through the pandemic, staying home and wondering what the Lord would have us to do and what to think about, the Lord began to speak to my heart and said, get into the Word, Bob. Get into the Word of God. Not just as a daily routine. See something of my majesty in yourself as you read and study the Word of God. And you shall have the tassel, and you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. I don't know where you are in your Christian expression or your Christian life, what you're enjoying, whether you feel defeated, whether you're happy, whether you're serious-minded, but the Lord knows you. He knows what you need. He knows in what small places you will find his greatness. Now, we've got people who buy like bicycles right here. They do a lot of bicycling. I like that. It's a good sport, bicycling. I do bicycling, but I do it in the house, an indoor bicycle. It's good for my sickness. I have Parkinson's. So it's good, the movement, not to get muscles, the movement. We have a grandson who's in bicycling, and he is 10th in the United States nation as a cyclist. Now that's an expression of only cyclists could understand, but in that cycling, maybe God wants you to bring something to mind concerning himself. Maybe you're a person who likes to bake. Or you like to read. Or you like flowers. I don't know about every detail of our lives. He wants that thread of blue to be interwoven in the things that we appreciate and love. He doesn't want to be left out of our lives. He didn't want to be left out of the life of the individual Jew in the nation of Israel. So he told him, do a simple thing. Put tassels at the end of your garments. And when you look at the tassel, would we have done it that way? This is the wonder and glory of God. He will do things so different than we anticipate and understand. How am I going to face this situation? And so we look at our lives. Remember what I say in my word. And I thought about that. I said, well, you know, with my dear wife, Carol, and I said, what's happening to us? This pandemic has caused so much pain in so many places, and we've been so limited. We have two grandchildren we haven't even met. I mean, that's grandparents. Yeah, you want to see your... haven't even met them. We haven't seen some of our... We have 18 grandchildren. We haven't seen them for 2.5 years. And so rather than let Satan run with that, you know, Satan likes us to be sad. He said, that's it. That's it. Now, you haven't seen... So get sad. Be unhappy. Get stressed out. You have property you have to sell. And then, you know, you could be making a mistake, and then you've got some, you got to pay for this property and that property. Blame God. Satan wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to forget about the Lord's leading. He wants us to forget about the Lord's presence in our lives. So he says to Israel, could they do that? Did he say to Israel, I want you to climb the mountain? No. I want you to build it? No. I want you to take little tassels and put them at the garment, on your garments, and then a blue thread through the tassels. And in that way, you'll remember my commandments. We would like to think that we have all of you feel you're walking by faith and you're walking in the love of God. But notice what he says. That you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. Now, I look at the years I've been a believer. I think of my walk with the Lord and the things that I do to honor him. But there's the old man. He likes to rear up his head and cause me problems. There's the new man in Christ. Certainly, I want to do what the Lord commands me to do. But the tendency of the human flesh is to please self. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. What are we seeing on television today, in society today? You know, I'm so tired of hearing the expression, the universe has told me. What universe? Pantheism? The universe has helped me to... Oh, boy. And then they're interviewing this man, and he's so nice, and there are two women in the audience, and he said, we're a love trio. We're three of us. We live together. What? Who? What is what? What's that all about? Well, the flesh does not want to do the will of God. The flesh wants to enjoy its own tendencies. And he says, now when you look at those tassels, when you realize who you are, to whom you belong, I don't want you to do that which is displeasing to me. Your own tendency, your own eyes are for your own destruction. Oh, Satan's not that way, though. He comes and he whispers in our ear and says, well, Bob, you've had a good time at the chapel today. So how about a little bit of thinking about things you shouldn't think about now. You get a bonus for being such a good, you're up there and you preached, and on the way home, why don't you get into the dirty, dirty, rotten, no. That happens. We've had some wonderful workers in Quebec that fell into sin. Because they felt they were untouchable. They could excuse their way out of anything because they were serving God. So, in August 23rd, I'll turn 90. I'll be 90. You believe that? I'm going to be 90 years old. Well, I'm probably the oldest person in this room. And I have to remind myself that when I'm talking to people, and it happens at the home we're going to, it's funny how people are. Now, Mr. Thrall, we would like, you know, Mr. What's for all this? Mr. Thrall, they're talking to a 90-year-old man. I don't feel 90. But Satan is terrible. He brings thoughts to your mind. He brings ideas to your mind. He wants you to enjoy your own little world. And it thinks it's all right. No, you are a child of God. You have to look at the holiness of God, not self. You can't keep your mind on yourself. You've got to keep that self in obedience to the Word of God as God reveals Himself to you. Verse 40, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. You know, you've got to be very careful. This might sound strange. You know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in your prayer life, in your life with God Himself, be careful. Just not spend all your time confessing your sins. Because that's spending all your time about yourself. Well, I can't pray. I can't. You know, at this meeting, I remember a couple of years ago, young man came in, he didn't take the bread and the wine. And I went to him and I said, "Why? What are you doing here? Why didn't you take the bread?" "Well, I didn't feel worthy." I said, "You were supposed to judge yourself before you came. And then you would feel worthy." "That's nonsense." "Well, there's an artificial holiness. I don't want that. I don't want a holiness that it's seen of men. So-called. I want a holiness in my life that pleases the Lord God Himself. I want to be worthy of His praise, of His presence, of Himself." You know, it says in Peter, "Be holy for I am holy." No one said it's going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy matter in our lives to walk in a way that pleases the Lord God in everything we do, in every aspect of our existence, in every hobby or sport event or baking, whatever. You know, when we come together as His children, we all need each other. But sometimes, this is the problem. I don't want this to happen in this meeting. You don't want to walk into a meeting looking around to see who's going to grab you and test you and criticize you. You walk into the meeting, if you don't sit with your leg crossed, you're wrong. What? Or if you don't sit with your... What? This is why the fellowship of the house of God is we're all seeking to be holy unto the Lord. to make mistakes. We need each other. The reminder that he's presence with us. But don't forget, this wonderful Lord that we have is revealing himself to you in a way that I don't quite grasp. And that input from your spiritual life improves my spiritual life. We desperately need each other to walk in faith together. So we might honor the Lord as his children. Verse 41. And when you look at that tassel, when you look at the details of your life, he says to Israel, I want you to remember, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So, when we live our lives and we look at each other, are we reminded of the fact that we are the family of God? We belong to the Lord our God. He's the one who has saved us through the death of Christ on the cross. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose the third day according to the scriptures. And so we walk by faith. We look for his glory. And remember that his majesty is being manifested in our lives. Now let's look at a passage in the New Testament. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I said for Israel, it's look at the tassels. They're looking, seeing people. See God visible in these experiences. The Apostle Paul gives us another perspective. Verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What? The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. God is now at work in the inward man. And what he's saying is the inward man does not need visual justification. Authenticity. The life that we have is now in Christ, and the power of God is now in the inner man. The real you. You know, as we think about our lives, think of it in this perspective. We see each other. We have temporary existence. This is a journey. The journey is not everything. The journey leads to heaven. We're used to seeing things. We're going to get back with Israel and see everything. Why not? But... it's the invisible that's important for the church. How do you see the invisible? Is that just a thought? No, that's a reality. God, now through the Spirit and his word, is changing the inner man to be able to enjoy what cannot be seen, but can be experienced through faith. this outward man is perishing. You know, we're making a move to a home. As I said to a dear sister here, it's probably going to be the last move we make before the great move, before the Lord returns. How do you look at yourself? I'm saying how you feel now. Be careful about feelings. We want to feel joy. We want to feel happiness. We want to feel peace. Where do you find yourself in relationship to Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you happy with your walk with God, with Christ? Do you enjoy the anticipation of seeing Him someday and being able to open the Word of God and see Him reveal Himself to you through His Word? Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, that's true, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Do you know that? Is that part of your existence? Is that part of your life? Are you saying, yes, I know this. I am being renewed day by day. For our life of affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now wrap your head around that statement. This is temporary. That is eternal. Now, he doesn't want you to dwell on the temporary, but on the eternal. Well, how am I going to do that? By the Spirit of God. Yes, but get into the Word. See it manifested in the Word. See, in the fellowship of God's people, worship together, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now we have to be honest with each other and honest with our lives. Well, are you the person that says, well, I haven't seen God work in my life at all? That would be a very brash and untrue statement. That's how you feel about something. Look at how God has developed you in your appreciation of His Word and of the Trinity and of the statements of faith and of the fellowship of the body of Christ. You're not the same person. That day when I trusted Jesus Christ at the age of 12 at that Bible camp, I'm not the same little boy that was there, saved by God's grace because I believed in the gospel of Christ dying for my sins. I'm not the same person who went to university or graduate school. I'm not the same person. I'm not the same person when I married my wonderful, wonderful wife. I'm not the same person when we came to Ontario from Quebec, where we served the Lord for 42 years. I'm not the same person. I'm being renewed day by day, and so are you. But you have to accept that as part of your Christian identity and Christian walk. Don't get down on yourself. Don't get down on your friends. Let people, when people want to come in and help you, say thank you. You know, let's say you accomplish something strategic for the Lord Jesus. Something wonderful has happened. You saw a relative come to know Christ through your ministry or through your witness. And someone comes up to you and says, Bob, in that case, you did a wonderful thing. and I say, give glory to God and not to me, how do you think that makes that person feel? I've had that happen. Why don't you just use the two precious words in the English, thank you. Thank you. We're on our way to glory. I'm not going to go into the rest of the passage. And that glory is waiting for us. We are here in anticipation of the most wonderful experience we'll ever know is when we're changed and become Christ-like in His presence. Don't let the things of time and sense destroy the blue thread that's been in the fabric of your existence, that we might remember who He is and obey His word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have a very interesting life here below. Here, this place where there are those gathered together in your name, these people who love you, who want you to be in their lives. Help us not to crumble or whine or give in to the lusts of the flesh. We're going to sin, Lord. We're a sinful people. But you love us, and you want us to be holy unto yourself. You want us to remember your commandments. You want us to remember the Lord Jesus. You want us to be victorious and kind and understanding. And all this is possible because, Father, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Thank you for that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your salvation. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.